You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, happy Sunday. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. I'm actually really, really excited about the show because what we're going to be talking about is some general health and how businesses can look after their employees, which I think, as business owners, should be absolutely first on the list for us all. And to do that, we are joined by Jamie Johnson of JJ Health, Darren Aston of Aston & James, and Ian Nutt of Oxfordshire Mind. This is the Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back. This is Get Radio and this is the Business Brunch. Today, as you heard, we're going to be talking about general health and how businesses can really look after their employees, which is so, so important. And to do that, we're joined by three experts. So let's start by introducing our experts. Jamie, I'm going to start with you. Do tell those listening at home all about you and indeed your business.
Of course. Hi, guys. Thank you very much for having me on. So I started off as a personal trainer and lifestyle coach. That's kind of where I gained my experience. And I've kind of moved into the corporate setting, trying to work with businesses to help them get the most out of their people from a health perspective, fitness, mindset, all of those kind of lifestyle things that lead into kind of leading healthier, more active lifestyles.
Amazing. And next up, Darren, not the first time visit. You're back again. Do tell those all about you and those who don't know Aston & James, all about Aston & James.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me back. And I'm Darren Aston. I'm the MD and owner of a family business called Aston & James. We're a business that's got 34 years of experience in providing tailored workplace solutions with a personal touch. We believe in understanding the wants and needs of the customers we work with, from office supplies through to workwear, PPE, furniture, ergonomics, and just really helping people in their setup wherever they choose to work from.
Amazing. And last but definitely not least, Ian, please introduce yourself and indeed Oxfordshire Mind.
Hi. So I'm Ian from Oxfordshire Mind. I'm head of development here, so leading up the fundraising team and income team here. So we are a charity, local mental health charity, supporting everybody to access mental health services as and when they need them. We provide a huge range of services from wellbeing hubs all across the county, Safe Haven, which is a crisis support setup. We have staff present in GP surgeries almost all over the whole of the county, housing projects, physical activity projects, Benefits for Better Mental Health project, which is about supporting people with financial advice. We reach somewhere in the region of 13,000 people across the county every year, 200 staff, really big presence across the county. And hopefully everybody's heard of us in some way, shape or form.
Amazing. Perfect. Thank you so much to the three of you for all of your intros. Ian, I'm going to stay with you with one of the three hardest questions of this morning. You've kindly chosen a song for Alison's this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I'm glad you asked why I picked it. So my song is You Make My Dreams Come True by Hall & Oates. And this is actually linked to a mental health piece of advice that a previous employer gave me at a time when I was really struggling to get up and go to work in the morning because the pressures were pretty full on. And this person said, think of a song that you just connect with and makes you smile. You know, those songs that make you just grin from ear to ear every time it comes on. And during that period that I was struggling, I played it as the first thing I did when I sat down to my laptop every morning. So it was like sometimes at 6 a.m., put this on and it just set the tone and it really helped me get through. You know, music's so powerful for that kind of thing. It set the tone for my day. So that's my choice.
Oxfordshire Station. Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that really fitting song chosen by Ian, we've heard from our three experts who have kindly spent their time to come and join us to talk about how you can look after your employees. And I think that's what we all want. So Jamie, I'm going to start with a big question for you. No pressure. How important is it that employers take a real focus in ensuring that their staff are healthy?
Well, I probably won't remember the exact figures, but I was looking at research from Deloitte from this year, and I think it was around £51 billion is lost by businesses from sickness with staff, whether it's off days or other things like that. So it's very important for employers to take care of their staff in terms of giving them the space to look after their bodies mentally and physically, whether that's kind of in-house in the office or just giving them the space to do it outside, and really kind of approaching it from a holistic basis in terms of it's not just about diet and nutrition. I think exercise has to come into that, sleep, other lifestyle factors, like mental health and well-being as well. And I think it has to be viewed in that way, kind of chunking it down into nutrition, training and exercise, and then lifestyle factors as well.
No, absolutely. Really, really good place to start. And Darren, I think this is a really good place to come across to you, because I think that one of the big things that's always amazed me about your business is just that focus on keeping people healthy in the office. I know it's not just the office, but let's focus on the office for now. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of us spend most of our day sat at a chair. I know most of us spend most of our day looking at a computer or whatever. So what can employers do to ensure that actually the job is fulfilled, but their staff are in the healthiest position that they can be and have the tools to, I guess, protect themselves?
Yeah, I mean, it really goes back to basics in making sure that people have got the right setup. So a really good way of checking in on that is doing a display screen equipment assessment or a DSE assessment. We've recently enabled a sort of an AI tool that enables people to check in with their setup, answer a set of questions so that they're effectively and knowing the best practice in terms of being at their desk, ready to be working their most productive level that they can be based on the equipment and how they use it. Because often people have the equipment, they don't know how to use it. And if they don't have the equipment, the DSE tool or an ergonomic assessment will help in ensuring that the products are aligned with the person's wants and needs in terms of their working day. And adding more movement to the day. So having active office equipment, sit-stand desks, anti-fatigue mats, and equipment that supports them in their day and their duties and keeps them on point.
I'm going to give you a little plug here, Darren. If you haven't been to Darren's showroom, go and have a look. We went in there and I was like a boy in a sweet shop, getting myself a stand-up desk and a sit-down desk and a bouncy ball. It was wonders. But anyway, let's move on away from me being in a sweet shop when we're talking about being healthy. There's an irony there, isn't there? So let's come across to you, Ian. I think the really big thing that I've been so pleased about in recent years is mental health is being talked about a lot more. And I think there's definitely challenges there as well. But I think what are the things that employers should consider under the mental health umbrella? And where is that responsibility with the employers?
Yeah, really good question. And actually, just going back a little bit to what Darren's spoken about and Jamie as well, these are all massively interlinked. So your physical health and well-being, your nutrition, all of that is so fundamentally part of underpinning your mental health. They're totally inseparable. And when we talk about the five ways to well-being, which everyone's kind of heard of, one of them is get active. So, you know, being physically active, being in tune. And it's your employer's duty and responsibility to make sure that the environment is right. Physically and how you're prepared and you go to work and what that looks like and feels like. So that responsibility around mental health in the workplace is absolutely your employer's responsibility. It falls with them and should be seen in exactly the same way as physical first aid. So mental health first aid should have exactly the same prominence and prevalence. It doesn't necessarily in a lot of workplaces, but it kind of now, I think, increasingly feels obvious that it's a fundamental, important point. It goes back to Jamie's point about the Deloitte report, which is if you don't put those bits in place, if you don't provide a good mentally healthy workspace, employers don't engage in the same way. You know, so much of what we do at work is we spend as much time with our work colleagues, some of us, as you do with your partner, your family, your friends. And those interactions are really important. All of that is so vital to a good workplace, whereby you then get productivity, you get retention of staff. You know, anyone who's an employer knows that retention of staff is a really big thing. So it just, yeah, it can't be underestimated how important that all stitches together. And your employer should be putting in place all of those fundamental bits of the infrastructure that mean that as an organization, it is being prioritized in the same way that health and safety and first aid is.
No, absolutely. Really, really good points there, Ian. Jamie, I'm going to come full circle and come back to you if that's okay, and just talk about fitness. I think we all agree that physical exercise is important for mental health, and it's important for actually what Darren does in terms of being able to sit down. You need to get around and around and move. What kind of things do you do with your clients in terms of getting their staff active?
So one of the important things that I kind of realize is most people who are kind of working in an office are time poor individuals. I'm a kind of recent dad of a 2-year-old, and since becoming a father, I now understand the value of time. I wish I'd known that before becoming a dad. I probably would have got a lot more work done. But I understand it now, and I think a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people in these kind of jobs are, if they're not already parents, they're probably thinking about that in the near future. So I like to think of it from that base first. So we need to think of things that are going to help them from a training perspective that isn't going to waste time. We're going to kind of try and cut the fluff out of everything so that they're focused on stuff that they can do with the time that they have. So I'll look at it from a kind of strength and conditioning basis. I will start by figuring out how many sessions a week they can do, how much time they can spend in the gym. And then obviously it has to start with their goals as well. And then I'll just take it from there and we'll build out the program and try and do strength and conditioning each week, three to four times a week would be perfect for most people. And on top of that, if we can find a sport or something that is a kind of creative outlet as well, on top of that too, that can also help to, depending on the goals, burn calories, but it's also a way to socialize, which comes to Ian's point about just mental well-being as well. So sport and strength and conditioning is where I'd go first. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think that's such a good point. One of our clients, probably won't name them, although it's a real positive. I'm sure they wouldn't mind, but I better not. They launched their own football team. They've now got 7 of their own football teams, and actually they found that it was the biggest team building exercise that they ever did, because they've got team members that are going every week and playing 5-a-side football, and actually it's got people doing more exercise, talking, having friends at work in different departments, and yeah, it's simple, but it's been really, really effective. Darren, I know one of the conversations that you and I have had lots of times is in the modern place of work, we're not all in the office, and without generalizing, I think the certain demographics, if we were to look at Gen Z, might not necessarily have somewhere to work at home, or any demographic of course could, but I think particularly though that demographic, I think there's been a lot of studies on what can employers do if they've got that battle in terms of to attract the best talent, they're wanting to work from home or have hybrid working, but actually at the same time they're not sure that they are having the right chair. They might be working on the dining room table. They might be just renting a room and sat on the end of the bed. Like what can you do to, I guess, have a win-win scenario in that place?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes from where that person is set up and how they potentially will be working, how many hours they're going to be sat in front of a screen. Are they going to be on the phone? There's ultimately the responsibility of the employer to assist the best setup possible. So have they got basic kit to be able to get up and running, lighting, acoustics, sound, all those things, all those elements to help with really just making sure that they're connected with the right kit to be fit for work. at home or in the office or even on the go. Asking the right questions. I say, I'll go back to the display screen equipment assessment. That's an onboarding induction thing that everybody needs to, should go to when taking on board, whether it's Gen Z or any other generation of individual coming into the workplace. Yeah, honesty obviously is a big factor, making sure that people are transparent about how they're working. Often they might, I don't know, tell the odd white lie and say, I'm perfectly fine, because otherwise they might be drafted into the office if there's a workspace or workplace for them. But yeah, I think it does come down to checking in often enough, setting up from the beginning with the right induction and the right onboarding, and you're giving them the opportunity to be supported, really, and understood.
Really, really good points. Really, really good points. And I'm really keen to build on that, actually, with Ian and Jamie. But before that, let's have a song. And Darren, it's your turn for the short straw. You have also kindly chosen a song for our listeners. And I think Ian set a very high bar earlier. So no pressure. Yeah. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I've been playing this quite a lot, actually, recently. So as a business, we create happy, healthy, productive workplaces. And I've chosen Happy by Pharrell Williams because it's upbeat, it's positive, and it's all about feeling good, which aligns perfectly with promoting happy, healthy workplace.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is The Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, chosen by Darren, and yes, a very good song choice, Darren, well done. We have been speaking with our three experts really about how you, the business owner, can really look after your people. And I think it really is the most important thing. So before that song, I think Darren made a really, really good point in terms of often when employees might be working from home, they might not say that they are unhappy or that they're struggling or there's this challenge. And I think that can definitely be extended to physical health and indeed mental health. So Ian, I'm just going to start with you. What are some of the things that you can consider as an employer in terms of getting that balance, in terms of really ensuring that you're looking after your people, whether they are in the office or indeed at home?
Yeah, really good question. And at Oxfordshire Mind, we have a lot of, in fact, the majority of our employees are based either from home or in GP surgeries or in our wellbeing hub. So there's a really varied set of locations for our employees. And it's something we take really seriously. We have a system at Oxfordshire Mind where we ask all line managers to create what we call a wellness action plan with every employee. And what that does is, and it doesn't have to be, you know, super formal. I'm not talking about creating tons of paperwork for the sake of it, because we have enough of that in the workplace as it is, but something that is a connection between the line manager and the employee around understanding the personal circumstances, because everybody's circumstances will be different depending on where they are. And if in that wellness action plan, what you do is you create an understanding of what's the situation that that individual is dealing with or working with, what special requirements do they have physically or mentally that you may not otherwise know, so that as a line manager, you're then taking some of that responsibility to make sure that person is supported as an individual, rather than just assuming that everyone should be treated exactly the same, because that is not the case. Everybody has different requirements, needs, and whatnot, depending on where they're working. So that's something that we talk about in our mental health first aid training courses that we deliver. And it's something that we roll out throughout our organization to treat every individual and their circumstances differently.
No, really, really good point you've made there, Ian. And actually a point that I think can be extended to Jamie, because I think that everybody is an individual is a really good point. I think some of us really enjoy going for a run. Some of us really enjoy competitive team sport. Some of us might enjoy going to do something in the park. So how can employers really ensure that they, if we're focused on fitness, and I think that's really important that we do that, Jamie, but how can employers really ensure that they are being really inclusive with their, I guess, opportunities for fitness for their employees, and they're ensuring that there isn't a one size fits all, and treating each individual as a person?
Of course. So some of the things I do with businesses is on-site we'll actually host some high-intensity interval training classes. These are kind of classes that you can do with minimal equipment. And the idea behind that is obviously to, you can do it in the workplace, so you can have a bit of time to actually do that during the workday. But also with minimal equipment, they can take that workout home with them so that they're actually able to, as long as they remember the moves. But that's part of my job, is to give them the tools to remember them as well. But they can take that workout home with them as well and do it in their own time. We've also been thinking about adding in kind of a kind of walking club, a 1 hour walking club, where yes, it's an hour of walking, which is obviously exercise, and that's fantastic in itself. But it's a way that I can actually chat to the staff members and the people within the business about kind of any questions that they want, whether it's nutrition based, whether it's training based, lifestyle, any questions that they have about health and fitness, they can fire them at me for the hour whilst we actually get in a little bit of exercise as well. And then one other thing I've just been doing a lot with clients is, and this is really simple, 10-minute walks after each meal. You can extend that to 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, but it's super easy. It's quite manageable for most people. Sometimes I say, look, if 10 minutes is too much for you, just lower the bar. 5 minutes is better than nothing. And it's a nice way to kind of, I think it's James Clear who talks about habit stacking. You're always going to have your breakfast. Maybe you skip lunch, I don't know, but you're going to have your 2 or 3 meals a day always. And you can stack that with a healthy habit, like a 5 to 10 minute walk after each meal. And if you stack habits together, James Clear says that it becomes more manageable to stay consistent with them over time. So that's just a simple thing that I try and implement with my clients too.
Absolutely. And Darren, just coming across to you in terms of everything for the workplace. So I think as Jamie touched on quite early on, and I think all of you have brought on this, is that there's not just necessarily a one size fits all. It's important that you've got the right working environment. It's important that you've got the right nutrition and the physical and mental health. Like what other things are you seeing in workplaces that are really helping that overall healthiness?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that strikes us when people are coming back into the workplace and the numbers are starting to maybe increase in terms of footfall and noise increases again, an element of health and sort of, I suppose, awareness is the acoustics, the sounds that travel around the room, because some people have white noise at home. But when you go back to the office, concentrating and getting your head back into work, being distracted by lots of other noises that might be creeping back in that once was pre-COVID a workplace and a sort of vibrant workplace, acoustics in an office can play a vital part in people being able to concentrate and having zones where people can work. So having areas where you can be as noisy as you want to be, or quiet and concentrate, meet, greet, or eat. I mean, one thing we definitely encourage is the spaces in a workplace so people don't eat al desco and they're eating their lunch whilst they're working. A bit like what Jamie was saying, if you're skipping lunch or even working through lunch, that's not healthy in terms of your day. So approaching that and encouraging, giving people options within the workplace to take time out, recharge, and come back with hopefully the energy net levels that where we want in the afternoon. We all get that afternoon lull. So again, having refreshments in the office that keep people well looked after, nutritioned, watered, hydrated. And that's it. That's certainly something we're seeing, an increase of what businesses are offering to their staff is porridges for breakfast and healthy snacks and bars at break times and brunch times and nice cool refreshments that keep them going rather than just coffee and tea and water from the water cooler machine.
Absolutely. And I think with putting my recruiter hat on, I waited just over halfway through the show before I did that. I think that actually those things do make a big difference. You know, we've got some very cool clients who do include fitness classes, who do have mental health first trainers, but also do have healthy things to eat and always fruit around and porridge, and you don't have to pay for breakfast. And actually, I think that with the cost of living crisis, that can make such a massive difference. So no, we're definitely advised with that. Ian, I'm gonna be a little bit negative, if that's okay. And I think it's an important one. I think that what we see quite often is that a salesperson that's been a top salesperson for 3 years is suddenly not being a top salesperson, or the business is having pressured because they've lost this big client, and suddenly there's a lot more pressure on individuals. And I think sometimes mental health can be the reason for that. And I think that a phrase that Graham Hutchins said about 100 shows ago that's always sat with me is nobody wants to do a bad job. And I think that's very, very true. So what, as employers, if somebody does start to underperform, or if you do need something different from an employee, how would you deal with that conversation, and what under the mental health umbrella do you need to factor in when making those business decisions?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating one for me, as my job is head of development, head of income. So I'm exactly in that same area of biz dev and income generation. And there's no escaping, in sales in particular, the whole income side of things, there's no escaping the numbers. They still have to be there. So I totally get it. And I deal with it with my team on a regular basis, as they'd all tell you if they were here. There's something for me about there are things that are within your control, and there are things that are outside of your control. And it depends, you know, on which that is, as to whether, you know, the scenario you've just painted of losing a client or income not coming in. The way that I deal with it with my team is helping them understand, okay, so what are the bits that we can do something about? If we are supporting you properly to perform properly, have you got the tools that you need? Have we given you the space and time to perform and do the things that we're asking you to do? Are we equipping you as an employer to do the very best you can do? If the answer to all of those questions is yes, then you kind of, as an employer, you've done everything that you can do to support that person to perform in the best way that they can possibly perform. If there are bits then outside of their control, whether it is a business that doesn't have the budget anymore, or a market is drying up and there's no, you know, the market's not behaving or acting the same way, it's your job as an employer to innovate and support people to pivot and do something different, or to mitigate that and do something differently. If there's a performance issue, that's slightly different, and you pick that up through a different process, which goes back to my point around, you know, having a wellness action plan. If somebody's not performing, it's generally because there's something underlying, there's something else there that's happening. And as an employer, you should never prejudge and think that you know what that might be. If you don't have that conversation, that ongoing connection with your employees to try and help nurture and understand that and provide them outlets to explain what it is, then you're kind of not being a good responsible employer in the first place. So that's a slightly wordy answer, and not trying to get around the fact, because, you know, there is nowhere to hide if the sales aren't coming in, but it's your job as an employer to support that individual to do the best they can possibly do. And if there's stuff outside of their control with sales and marketing and all that sort of things, then it's your organizational responsibility to try and tackle that together.
No, couldn't agree more. Jamie, I'm going to bring the conversation onto you in a moment. But before I bring the actual conversation onto you, as with Ian and Darren, it's your turn. The bar's been set high today. So what is your song choice, and why have you picked it?
I have picked, I don't have any good reasons for picking this. I just like the song. But I've picked Bring It On Home by Led Zeppelin. The guitar riff at the start is just, it's grungy. It's awesome.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Our business breakfasts start from just £15. Find out more at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Although maybe not quite as good reason as Ian and Darren, it was a good song nevertheless. So well done, Jamie. You're off the hook. We've been speaking with our three experts really about one of the most important subjects. In fact, maybe the most important subject that we'll ever cover on the Business Brunch, which is health. It's something that's important to us all. Jamie, I'm keen to bring the conversation on to you and talk about business owners. I think we've spoken a lot about employees, and I think one of the big things that that is often forgotten is being the owner of a small business. So the business owner will often be the one that misses lunch, will often be the one that works really, really long hours, and will often be the one that does things that actually they wouldn't allow their staff to do. So I guess with that in mind, for business owners listening, what should they be considering about their own health? And why is it so important that we care for ourselves as much as our team?
That's a great question. I think you have to care for yourself to some extent, health and fitness wise, if you want. It's going to make you a better leader, for a start. It's going to make you a better, help you be a better person within the community, within your family. Mm. If you take care of yourself, it's also setting a good example. It's an inspiration to your family members, to the people within your community as well. And I think that's one of the most important things is setting an example. And I forgot the end of your question there, Ben.
No, I think you've covered it in terms of it just being really important to actually look after ourselves. And I think that the big like we were saying before, and I think we can all agree with this. I think the difference of being the owner of a business is that there's often nobody ahead of you to say do this. So if we focus on Ian, for example, I'm sure if somebody in Ian's team was working ridiculously long hours, Ian would be going to have a conversation with them. But actually, as a business owner, sometimes there's not anybody above you. So no, I think you've made a really, really good point there. Darren, I hope you don't think I'm overstepping the mark here, but I'm gonna embarrass you a little bit if that's okay. I think that as a family-run business, you won Family Business of the Year. I think I've got the word in right a few years back. And I think that of all the people I know, you're probably the best parent. You're the one that does spend time getting away from the business to be a parent and to look after your family. Just share your story under that umbrella and kind of why you do that, if you don't mind. Because I appreciate I'm going away from business a little bit, but I think it'd be useful for a lot of people listening under the health umbrella.
I guess being a parent is a bit like being a leader of a business. You are responsible for quite a few people and trying to set a good example, as Jamie was saying. I think one of my key things for me was not to be absent from becoming a business owner about the year that my daughter was born. Mm. So it was 12 years ago. I became the official owner of Aston & James. And I think, you know, you take the good, the bad and the different from the people that have walked the walk before you, and you pick up things and you learn stuff, and you're always learning no matter how often you reflect on yourself. And are we being enough? Are we doing enough? Are we setting a good example? I certainly make my fair share of poor decisions, but I try not to miss out on the important bits and the important parts of their life so that I'm present. But I still am a little bit frustrated. I should have picked the kids up a bit more over the last 12 years. But, you know, being a good example to my other brothers and sisters in the business, they've got children. And if they need to be somewhere, want to be somewhere, they absolutely should be there. And work is important. But a word that sticks with me is being intentional. So just being intentional when you're at work, being intentional when you're at home. I was intentional recently when I took a break with my family and we managed to get away, even though there was that worldwide outage and we were like, are we going to get off the ground? We got off the ground. And yeah, I think when you're up in the air and you're away, you can distance yourself and disconnect from work. You can still be, you know, you can still be available to people, but you've got to respect boundaries of work, life, family, and just, really be intentional.
No, absolutely. Ian, I'm going to go completely to something that I can't believe that we've not covered yet, which is mental health first aid training. And I think it's one of the services that you offer at Oxfordshire Mind. And I think it's so, so important. I think, you know, most employers have a first aider, don't they? But I think most employers probably still don't have a mental health first aider. So give me an overview. What is mental health first training? How do you get a mental health first trainer? How do you select one? And what does it involve being one? Lots of questions to you there. I've really put you on the spot, haven't I?
No, this is kind of our bread and butter. So thanks for asking. Yeah, mental health first aid training is an accredited course. It's 2 days. We run it here at Oxfordshire Mind for businesses, individuals. We do open group courses so people can come on as a group. It's an incredible course. The feedback we get from people that attend our courses is outstanding. And our trainer, Katie in particular, and the rest of the team are excellent. What it does is it really focuses on an employer's responsibilities around mental health and how to support employers in the workplace. It looks at tricks, tools, tips, all of that kind of best practice in the workplace around supporting people with mental health. It talks about skills that you might want to train into staff. So things like, and we've talked a bit about some of these things. So Darren talking about the word we use in five ways to well-being is connecting. So, you know, not just talking about it and not doing it, you know, leading by example. How do you implement and make things, how do you live and breathe this stuff? Doing it as a tick box just does not work, and it's false, and it will soon unravel if you go down that route. So we talk a lot about and train a lot about, so how do you implement it? What are those things that you might want to do? And we deliver other courses as well for different levels within the organization. So we've got a course at the moment around directors across a company or an organization. So how do you implement it strategically from the top down? And that we often see as being a really great telltale sign of an organization that's taking it really seriously and wanting to run it through. So yeah, mental health first aid training is the demands. We've seen the demands for it going up significantly in the last 12 months in particular. There's a lot of interest coming out as people, I think, are starting to realize quite how vital it is in the workplace.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We are coming towards the end of the show. But one of the things that I like to do at the end of the show is to share top tips. It doesn't need to be a new tip. I think that the three of you have shared constant tips for the last hour. So no need for new ones necessarily. But just anything that you would recommend they highlight in their notepad with a highlighter bought from Aston and James, or anything that you would recommend that we've missed that you think would be good to bear in mind. So under the umbrella of health, Darren, I'm going to come to you first. What is your top tip?
I think I've shared this one before, but I really like it, and we are very key supporters of it. And that's three things, really, all wrapped up into the same connectivity. Move more often, whether that's in the workplace or at home. We sit too much as human beings. That's our default sedentary mode. Break often, take, you know, essential breaks, 5 minutes from the screen at least every hour. I think there's a 20-20 rule that we should try and apply, but we all get stuck into work. So breaking more often, not eating al desco, and then protect and prevent poor setup. So protect yourself with the right support, and prevention is better than cure. So have a look at your setup, maybe have a DSE assessment check, be happy and productive in your environment. It's good for everyone.
Amazing. No, great advice as always. And Jamie, what's your top tip?
I will stick with kind of nutrition stuff. So I usually recommend three main things, at least to start with, three big rocks. Adequate protein intake. Prioritize whole foods, fruit, veg, lean proteins. And then just limit heavily processed foods. A lot of the time we think of processed and unprocessed food as this kind of binary, but it's a continuum. And I mean, chicken breast, for example, is processed to some extent. It's been cut off of a chicken, of course. So we want to limit heavily processed foods, things like Oreos, for example. But it's not the end of the world if you have some of that stuff in your diet. It really isn't. And I think trying to move away from this black and white thinking, this binary thinking, is really helpful for people as well, moving past for making better food choices as well going forward.
Amazing, amazing. And last but not least, Ian, what's your takeaway tip?
Apart from stealing Darren's eating al desco, which I'm saying is the sound bite of this show, I'm loving it. And it's me, I'm guilty of that. The two things I scribbled down, if I may, is treating everybody as an individual. Mm. Everybody's needs are very, very different. And that's super important. And then the other bit, which for me as a leader in an organization, is leading by example. Mm. Understanding you're not always going to do it. I do eat al desco every single day, but that's a challenge back to me. And then lead by example and let my team and everyone else around me know that I am setting the way that we should be working.
Amazing. No, great advice. Thank you so much for your tips and your ideas. It's been, yes, so useful. And for your time. And my big advice is, if you're listening at home, do follow these three gentlemen, because they always give so much so much genuine advice and they're great organizations. But yeah, that is the end of the show. So Next week, we are going to be back with some brand new guests, and we're going to be talking about protecting the people in your business, but with a different slant on it. So we're going to be joined by Drew and Justin for First for Safety Oxfordshire, and we're going to be talking about first aid training. We're going to be talking about fire safety training as well. So definitely one to listen into and an extension of today's show. Finally, just a reminder, you can get this show every Sunday on the radio and online. 11 a.m. There is also a podcast format available, which goes out via all the major podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, so you can see my wonderful guests that is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, thanks once again to the three experts, and thank you to you for listening, and I'll see you next week.